Welcome to the next episode of Teaching Restored, where we have discussions around how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to help others come unto him, unto their Savior. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard.
Hi, Julie. Okay. Hi, let's talk. I think today is going to be a little bit of a shorter one. It's my guess. And because it's a topic that is pretty basic. We're kind of going back to some basics here, but at the same time, I think it's missed. And I think that we need to be a little bit more intentional about when we teach. Again, the teaching could be in a class. It could be as a missionary. It could be a parent to a child. It could be a number of different ways, but I think we need to be a little bit more intentional about inviting others to do something to help them come closer to Christ.
Invitations.
Yes, exactly. So I went through some of my notes and some of my things, and I wanted to see, how does the Savior invite?
Ooh.
Mm.
Like
so, there are a few things that popped out of my... Okay, let me ask you. Is there any time when I say the Savior inviting, does anything stand out to you in the scriptures? Does anything come to the top of your mind by any chance?
There are a couple of things. And one of them that comes to mind is the scenario with the woman taken in adultery, because he invites the people to, hey, consider, check your own self, and then decide if you're going to cast a stone at her, right?
Yes.
And then he invites her to go. I mean, it's almost like in the form of a command sometimes, but that is an invitation. He's like inviting her to get on with her life, but a different life.
Yes.
And that was the scenario when you were saying that popped into my head first. I don't even know why that one.
That is the first one that popped into my head too.
No way. Great minds.
I'm serious. Dead serious. So I want to talk about this. Yeah, I mean, that's good. So I've got three of them. That's the first thing that came into my mind. So, yes, the woman taken into adultery.
Yeah.
And they come up and they say,
Wait, let me get just in the spirit of giving you a different one. Rich dude, invitation to follow him.
Good.
Did you come up with that one too?
No, but close to it.
Okay.
Really? I like that one.
Matchy matchy. It just can't be matchy matchy.
Wow. It's amazing. So, okay. So back to the woman taken in adultery. They want to know, hey, should we stone her? I think it was. And Jesus pretended not to hear them. And then he said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.
Hey, then Kevin, he stooped down. Where are you reading?
Sorry, thank you. John chapter 8.
Thank you. I like thank to be you. With you.
So... that was verse 7 of chapter 8. And then he stooped down on the ground and started to write, basically ignoring them. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one. And then in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Then he says, go and sin no more. What I want to point out here, a couple things. Number one, he did not say, I have an invitation for you.
No preface.
Just go and sin no more. I think that is a lot more powerful, being in kind of the flow of the discussion. If sometimes I think that, and I do this. I will go along and I will break up and I'll say, all right, my invitation to you is, and I use the word invitation and I make it a specific invitation, right? Make it very obvious. But there are times when it'd be more powerful, I think, to just be in the flow and say, go and sin no more. Like, I mean, not those words, particularly.
You're not going to do that to your class?
to my children, maybe, but
yeah.
Maybe to a class, right?
You know what we should do? We should put that on the door. And then, like, I'm going to put it on the door. So my kids, every day as they walk in, you know, some people put return with honor. I'm going to put go sin no more. Is that inspiring or is it actually not?
We're going to get some teaching restored merch and it's going to have a go and sin no more.
It won't damage your wall. Don't worry.
Right.
It's going to be amazing.
I like that. I like that so much. And then I'm going to bring it to class and put it up at the door. So when they leave the class, it says, go and sin.
You don't even have to say, I invite you to or not. It'll just be there.
That's right. It'll be very obvious to them. Go and sin no more. Good. So yes, watch for a merch. Right. Okay. So we have him talking about a spiritual ailment. And he says, I don't condemn thee, go and sin no more. That is his invitation. The next one I thought about is in John as well, chapter 5, when he heals the man, heals a man.
Yep.
And this one is at the pool. And
Bethesda.
Yep. And he says, And verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now that can also be seen as a commandment, right? In a way, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now, what I thought about this was, here's an invitation to walk. This dude hasn't walked for how many years?
Yeah.
And
like 38 years.
38 years.
38 years. That's in verse 5. Thank
you. There you go. 38. So he hasn't walked. Number one, stand up, period. Number two, have the balance.
Right.
Right. Like, I'm really going to do this. And it's not like Jesus went over to him and laid his hands on this person or on his head, or, I mean, I'm imagining it.
Didn't take his armpits and boost
him. Right. I didn't lift you up. No, it was just you take up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
And this guy does.
Yeah.
As a teacher, for me, what I learned from this right here on an invitation level, it is okay to ask things that seem absolutely impossible. Sometimes we talk about something that someone can do right now. Go and sin no more. Go and stop doing what you're doing. Okay. This time it's asking an invitation to do something that, oh my goodness, I didn't think I could ever walk again.
Right.
In a classroom setting, or in a parent to child or wherever, sometimes it is okay to go so far and ask something so huge and so great as an invitation that they thought I could never do it. I think of what just came to mind was, and I would have to look this up, but I don't have it all in front of me right now, was a talk given in the April to 2023 conference, the last conference we had. And it was, I think this general authority was a stake president before, and he had a young man come to him and who was totally messed up on drugs, I think, et cetera. And then he cleaned up and wanted to go on a mission. Mm-hmm. And then he got back from his mission. And then his question was, do you think I've been forgiven? And he was like, oh my goodness. Yes. Right. But I think of beforehand, someone who may seem so, so, so far off of the path. And then it's, I want you to go on a mission. What?
Right.
I can't do that. Right. Let me ask you, have you ever been asked to do or invited to do something that seemed so far off of anything that you could do? Does anything come to mind?
So, two things popped into my head while you were describing this.
Okay.
Because I make it all personal, right? That's sure. how I want to do it. I don't know why my family picks right now to play the piano, but they did. So I apologize.
I don't think I can hear it. So I think you're good. Okay.
The first thing is when you said something about you as a teacher can give an invitation that feels way far out of reach. I thought about how sometimes I've been given an invitation to give away a Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Right. And if I'm being totally honest, I have not always felt like, first of all, that's really scary to me. And it also feels to me like a leap from where I am at that moment. I'm thinking, I don't even know who to share the gospel with. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm sharing the gospel all the time. Like, so, but in my brain, I'm like, no, like I cannot make that leap. And what's interesting though, I know this isn't where we want to go necessarily, but I'm just going to put it out there is that I don't feel like I was prepped for that invitation. Like, you know, there's got to be some like inspiration and momentum and conviction that's built up around why you're giving away this Book of Mormon and why. And that I think was part of what I lacked. And so sometimes my response has just been like, yeah, right. So my response to an invitation that feels like a huge leap for me, I have to be inspired or I'm giving it a eye roll. Yeah, right.
Right.
I'm being honest. Sorry. Good. That was one of the thoughts that came to mind.
So let me interrupt you if I may. Yes. Real quickly. I think that's a great, great lesson for us. If in a class or in, as we're talking to our kids and we just say, here's the invitation, go do this. Way far out of reach, so far out, they don't have anything to connect it to. If we don't do that as we lead up to that, they're not going to see the path forward. They're not going to even see that it's even possible.
Exactly. I mean, the truth is that like for, you know, the missionary, the kid who's really kind of struggling in his life that you're like, you want to go on a mission. Part of what you're doing is creating ambition. You're, you know, helping to be involved in setting goals. Mm-hmm. And so there's part of it when you say you have to be able to see the path forward. I don't even know if you have to be able to see every step because this guy probably is like, I don't even know what I got to do to be able to stand up. You know, I gotta rise up. Okay. That's the first step. And then I gotta like figure out, I mean, he's not thinking of all of that, but he has enough faith to be like, I'm attached to that faith. I'm attached to my faith in this Jesus. If we feel an attachment to what it is that we're being invited to do and some kind of a connection and we feel the Spirit, it doesn't matter how far out of the realm of our thinking it is at that moment, we feel inspired to even reach to that.
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be that we're going to get to it right away. It just means that we are reaching in that direction. And so just, I think that that's part of it is that we have a responsibility as teachers to actually build to the invitation.
Yes, that's good. Yes. I think that one of the catalysts of building to the invitation is not only what we say and how we say and how we present it, which is important, of course, but most importantly is the Spirit.
Totally.
The Spirit can bridge a gap from 0 to 60 in an instant, just like that. I'm reminded of a young man that I know of that was not going on a mission. He was, I don't need to go on a mission. There's no reason to, you know, there are other people who haven't gone on a mission. They're good people. Why should I go on a mission? Not even close. He was invited to go to a YSA ward when he graduated. He went to the YSA ward. Someone said something. The Spirit hit him and is like, I'm going on a mission.
Yeah.
Done.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say on my mission, I remember they say, when you feel the Spirit, you invite. Like that was your prompt.
Yes.
You send an invitation.
Yes. So we don't always know when the Spirit will hit someone or that it even hit them at some time. But if we can feel it, then you're right. Then is the time to hit that invitation, whatever that invitation may be. And again, it doesn't need to be, I invite you to. It's go and okay. Do.
So here's my second thought that was popping into my head as you were talking about this. Okay. And tell me if this feels like it resonates and if it's even where you want to go. But aren't all commandments invitations?
I was thinking the same thing, was going to bring that up earlier, but I didn't because I started going down a different path. Yes, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
And then, so switch that around. Aren't all commandments invitations? Well, aren't all invitations commandments?
I'm going to disagree.
I'm not saying the answer is yes.
Okay. You're asking the question.
I'm asking the question.
Okay. I would say no, because Julie Hilliard extending an invitation doth not a commandment make.
True.
When it comes from Heavenly Father, or I would actually venture to say one of his called servants, AKA it takes place over the pulpit at General Conference or something like that. Like give yourself that filter. Those invitations are commandments, I think. That's okay. How I look at it, at least gospel okay. According to Julie.
Yes. When we switch that around, invitations, my thought was an invitation from the Spirit.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right.
Oh, so, totally. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes way more sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, that's a good point. Yeah. They aren't all commandments. If, you know, if I just give it in a lesson, no, of course. Yeah. That way. Okay.
Don't give myself that much credit.
Perfect. So I'm not that cool. All right.
Well,
no way. So the third one comes close to you. So this is when Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, he starts to gather his apostles.
Hey, Kevin, good job giving the references.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. I do forget that. So I appreciate it. Chapter 4, he starts grabbing the apostles. This is the short version of it. In verse 18 of chapter 4 of Matthew, he says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's another invitation to this time. So the first invitation was an invitation on a spiritual level. The second invitation was on a physical level, or a, I don't think I could ever do that. Are you kidding me? And actually the first
miracle level.
On what level? Sorry.
On a miracle level.
And honestly, the first one may be that too. If you think about it, the woman taken to adultery, she may think, you think I'm just going to stop what I've always been doing the whole time?
That's true.
Right. So that may be. Then this one is a literal, come follow me, walk by me.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, as a father, as a husband, as a mentor, as a whatever, I think some of the best invitations are to come with me and do it with me. I can teach, my son is my ministering companion. Yes. I can say, we need to do this. We need to go do this. Or I can take him and invite him to come with me and teach him so much more than inviting him to just go do something, right? I think a lot of the invitation can be, just come follow me and let's see. Let's see what happens.
I love that. Like I think about my son this morning. I invited him in the form of a command chore list to wash the car, right? And then I washed my car. And he's like, if I help you, will you help me? And I'm like, absolutely, totally.
Great.
So, and I realized how much opportunity there was for teaching and how much more we enjoyed it when we did it together. My question is, as a teacher, how do you do the equivalent of that? Is it that you make the same commitment that you're asking them to make and then you report back to each other? Like, how do you do that? Any thoughts?
I think that's a great way to do that, is to make a commitment, say, hey, I'm going to read the Book of Mormon. And we've heard this one, right? I'm going to read the Book of Mormon by this. Come join me. Let's do this together.
Yeah.
Great.
Or even, I'm going to apply this principle in this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love if you wanted to do the same and we'll talk about it later. Or
yeah. Let's get together.
Follow up.
Yeah. Let's do the follow up and talk together about, come back with, how did it affect you this week or these 2 weeks or whatever it may be.
You know, in an ideal world, but I'm really bad at this because like, I don't even follow through on consequences with my children sometimes. Like I try so hard.
What kind of a mother are you, Julie?
I'm the worst. Okay.
Please.
Be nicer to myself. Okay. But in an ideal world, I would love to have a consistent class where we end with an invitation and we start with an accountability.
There you go. Absolutely.
I just wish I could remember to do it, but like, I love the continuity that can create and the change that it can help them incite.
Absolutely. They get used to that. they start to, oh, expect that. Oh, I'm coming to class. I will be asked if I went and did this and what were the implications of it or whatever it might be, right? I think that is a powerful thing to do. It's difficult to do.
Really hard.
Especially when in church, a lot of the classes are every other week now.
Yeah, that makes it even harder.
Yeah.
Well, and what also is challenging is there's a fine line between putting people on the spot and, you know, not wanting to create somebody like, oh, I don't want to go because I didn't do anything with it. Or, you know what I mean? You got to be cautious of all of that. Yeah. One thought that I had is if you think about how excited people are when they see you after you've had a lesson and they've applied it, how excited they are to tell you about that experience. I think there's something really beautiful in creating space for that.
Yes.
People want to share.
Right.
So just a thought to kind of get people more engaged and involved in the discussion. They want to share if they've done something with it.
And I agree.
Having an invitation helps to kind of target what you'll be talking about.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this week.
I love that. You're right. Because they will be more excited about whatever it is they're talking. And that excitedness is infectious with others in the class, right?
Yeah. And the way that they apply it might be expanded by what they hear from somebody else's experience and all of that as well. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I know I was talking too much right there.
No, you weren't. No. That's kind of exactly what I wanted to focus on is that there are two parts to an invitation. There's the well, not always, but let's say in this context, there's an invitation of let's go do this. And then the comeback of, hey, how did that affect you? And if we set that expectation, it's continuous. They know it's going to happen and they don't need to worry about, oh, you know, maybe they'll forget actually what I've seen so many times, honestly, with me included, is I'll give an invitation, never follow up. And then people expect, oh, he's just saying that.
Oh, totally.
Right? They,
I mean,
he didn't mean it. Yeah. Yep.
Kids included if I don't follow up, right? I mean, this is psychology 101.
Right. So make the invitations. Invite them to act is basically what you're doing. Yeah. Invite them to act on what was learned, then follow up and... going back to Elder Bednar, was in a priesthood leadership type meeting with him. And I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but one thing he said was, he said, when I counsel someone, I say, okay, you need to go read this book or you need to go read this pamphlet or you need to go read this there. He said, I don't give it to them. I want them to act and for them to go get it.
Oh. Interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have that handy and just plop it down because that they don't act. If I just give it to them, everything to them, then that's not really acting. This is them actually going and doing it and then follow up and ask, was it done? Good. Let's talk about the implications of it and how you have changed from it. And I think that can be more impactful at the same time. And I think teachers, a lot of times they'll make it as easy as they can.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. And I do too. I'm going to make it as easy as you can just so you do it. Well, maybe we ought not to.
Maybe sometimes a little bit more effort and a little bit more investment can make it more impactful. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. On their end, on the receiver's end, right? That may mean that we need to pull back a little bit and give the invitation and then follow up with it, but maybe not give them everything that they need to go do it because it needs, the more they act, the more impactful it will be for them.
No spoon feeding.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It's an interesting point. I have to mull over that a little bit just because I'm so in the habit of being like, oh, you want that resource? Okay. We're going to post it on the Facebook page. And I want to make sure that you have it at your fingertips. Da, 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 da.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as well, right? Like we'll post links in the show notes down here. Yeah. We want people to understand it because they're going to forget. And especially if there's a whole bunch of things that you could go do or could go look up, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes, and this is me thinking off the top of my head, I think when it comes to a personal go invitation to go do, because this is going to change your life type of thing, then maybe we encourage them to go act again rather than spoon feeding.
Yeah, no, I see the difference. I think I see the difference. I'm glad that I said it out loud though, because I think what I hear you saying is that this isn't just like you're trying to help your class learn about a specific topic and you're spoon feeding them some of the info so it's at their fingertips so they can use it in their Come Follow Me study. You're talking about when you make an invitation, and this could be in an interview, this could be, you know, if you're a bishop, this could be in, you know, a classroom, this could be in a mentoring relationship or whatever. If it's something that you're asking them to do to incite some change, you don't spoon feed. You know, actually, I can think of an example where this might be true.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing it out. So, you know, the church's addiction recovery program.
Yes.
Right? So you're thinking about somebody who needs to go through addiction recovery, say, you know, you have a calling of some kind that puts you in a position to help a person make that connection and start with addiction recovery. We talk about, and this is, you know, from some stuff in my former life, that if you, you know, are driving the person to the AA meeting, for example, and you are sitting there with them the whole time, and then you can't go 1 week. And so you just don't want
good point.
The crutch. You want people, when they are doing something for themselves to make a change in their life, they have to take those initial steps to be able to do it.
Yes. And I think that is a great example of that. Yes. You don't want to give the crutch. Because if they don't take you up on the invitation, then they don't want to change. And no matter how much pushing you do, they're not going to change because they don't want to. And I think about parenting, right? Same thing. Son, daughter, you need to change this. And we're going to make it really easy for you to change that. Well, maybe they don't want to yet. And I need to just wait until they're ready. And then when they're ready, okay, now I can help out a little bit more. Or if I see that they're ready and they're taking steps, okay, now I can kick in a little bit to aid that and kick it into gear.
That's a great example. You know what I also thought of is, as a missionary, I wanted people to come to church so badly. I would do everything I possibly could to get them there. Mm-hmm. And it was the people who you just said, I really want to see you there. I can't wait to see you there. It wasn't the people that I went and picked up and walked with and took and had 14 people call them that morning to make sure that they didn't oversleep. And then, like, they may come for a couple of weeks, but then they're not coming.
Right. Right. You know? A lot of times, yeah. Of course.
Interesting.
Of course, we have to go off the spirit on that one.
Oh, for sure. I'm not suggesting you don't help.
Right.
But I am saying that the part of it was, you know, cultural. I was serving my mission in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And there's such a social, beautiful social relationships there. Part of what was really hard was that people would become attached to a missionary or to the people.
Sure.
Less, more than they would become attached to the gospel.
Right.
And it took some effort to, so anyway, I'm just finding all these connections in my brain to the point that you just made.
I like that. Good. And I hope others are as well. So two major things from this. Every time we teach, even casually, even if we're talking to someone on the plane and we start talking about the gospel a little bit, what is our invitation to come closer to Christ? Even if we don't say that, my invitation to you to come closer to Christ is we're not doing that, but more naturally. And by the way, as we do it more often, the more natural it will come and the more comfortable we will do it. So then it's, what do we do? What invitation are we giving each time? And then how are we following up with that also? How do we make sure that they did it? Or sometimes it's the return and report. Again, with leadership, you know, if you're a bishop, it may be you come to me and return a report.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm not going to follow up with you. You return, and that will give some indication of how serious are they in this, right? So there are lots of different ways to do it, but I think we can add invitations in a little bit more than maybe we have.
I love that. I've got to think about how to do it in my class tomorrow. Honestly, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up right now because I teach tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, I will be, you know what? Here's my invitation to you, and I'm just saying, Nurcha, invite, and then let's talk about what invitation you gave and how you're going to follow up.
Yeah, put that in the chat. Tell us how you did it. What did you say? What invitation did you make? That's great.
What is it? Yes. Good. Like, thank you so much, Julie. And thanks everyone for listening. If you would share, like, invite, share with someone who needs to invite, maybe a spouse, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yep.
I don't know why that just kind of made me go, uh-oh.
Not that, hey, spouse, you're doing this all wrong kind of a thing, but hey, spouse, maybe we need to think about intentionally inviting our kids in a different way than the commandment of go take out the garbage kind of stuff.
I was going to say I could think of some invitations that might be more like the latter.
Yeah, me too. I'm really good at that. I'm really good at that.
Me too. I'm so good at it. Wrong kind.
Yep. Not thinking about that. All right. Thanks, Julie. Take care, everyone. Thanks.
Bye.